This is a Word Balloon special report. Disney acquires Marvel for $4 billion. From our news headquarters in Chicago, here's John Suntress.
Thanks, Uncle Walter. Or should I say Uncle Walt? Because as we all know, the big news, Disney has acquired Marvel for $4 billion. What does it mean? Too early to tell, but I'm here with Vanita Rogers from Newsarama, who's been covering the story all day, gathering facts, and we're going to do our best to discuss some of the initial questions. Don't expect any answers, but for the next few minutes, we're going to be discussing the different areas where this deal will be affected and how things may or may not play out. When did you start covering today?
Well, I think it was announced, around 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got an email because I wasn't even looking at Newsarama's front page, so I was clueless, and I got an email. I was busy, and I got an email from my boss, Mike, and
okay.
He said, "Can you get on chat immediately?" And I did, and he's, you know, and when I got that, the first thing I did was say, and I looked at Newsarama's front page. And so by the time I got on chat, I said, "Oh my gosh! All
sure.
right, what do we got to do?" So that's when I started covering it.
Okay, and who have you spoken to today?
Well, a lot of it was via email.
Okay,
but wow, you know, I communicated with everyone from Top Cow to Dark Horse. To then just creators, you know, there were some creators that couldn't talk. There were some people
sure.
that, you know, just kind of wanted to let us know. I can't really say anything. One of them being Boom Studios. I think they're not even sure, you know, what's up. So,
right.
you know, they've got to kind of regroup and communicate with Disney over that whole thing, I'm sure, before they can say anything.
Certainly.
Although, you know, I say I think. They may very well have known about this, but I don't think they did. My gut feeling was that they didn't. And then, plus, I don't think they could have known about it from a stock standpoint, right? They can't let anybody know about it before the announcement, I think.
Sure.
You know, it's insider trading, you know.
Yeah, and I'm no, and I, you know, I'm going to talk with at some point, not in this conversation and not on this podcast, but I'm going to be talking with Jason Wood, who works in the financial world, and is at a good advantageous point because he is a Marvel investor, so he's been on the Marvel conference calls. He's the guy who broke the story. In fact, the vice president of Marvel was explaining the very crass business reasons why they were going to $3.99 in books. And not really saying, it wasn't the paper, it's not to pay people, it's, well, we're testing the market, we think we can. And again,
right,
it wasn't
yeah.
wasn't doing it in a jerky way, but just was being very matter-of-fact about it.
Right, right.
And that's
which is, it's tough from a creative standpoint to, even this deal, when we read things or see movies, it's tough for us to remember that those are businesses. You know, that was a big wake-up call to me when I got out of college and became a journalist. Was I was working for a business. You know, I thought, oh, I'm going to change the world, I'm going to be a journalist, but newspapers are a business.
Absolutely.
You know, everything so many things are businesses, and even, you know, NPR to some extent is a business, because if they don't keep people interested and have stories on that people are interested in, then, you know, the public radio station or they aren't going to pay for the show. So
right.
I mean, everything's about keeping your customers happy and making money. And so, yeah, you know, it's tough for us to say, oh my gosh, they're testing the market. But the fact is, any good business, if they can charge $3.99 for the same product, you know, that they're charging $2.99 for without affecting the overall quantity that they sell, then, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
No, I
Bad,
agree.
Bad, but true.
Well, and I've kind of been involved with something similar because I used to work for an independent radio station that got bought by CBS. And we don't know what's going to happen because it really took, you know, close to a year before you really started noticing little things that you could normally do. And let's talk about that, because Marvel has been, you know, certainly at the best and worst places in the last 20 years when they were facing bankruptcy, you know, 10 years ago when they were owned by Revlon and the Toy Biz and that company that owns Toy Biz. whose name right now escapes me. I don't know if you remember. It's cool.
No,
if you don't worry.
Had it too. I just looked over the timeline.
That's okay. It's in the past. The point is, though, that I think Marvel has always been, especially in the last 10 years, kind of identified as the hare as far as DC being the tortoise, and that Marvel has been able to be quick and nimble and make its own decisions from a publishing standpoint, and certainly they were setting themselves up to be independent in a lot of media ways so that they can kind of make their own deals and move to their own beat. And now being part of a conglomerate like Disney, it'll be interesting to see how that changes.
Right. You know, the one thing that I think everybody keeps comparing this to, for that very reason, is Pixar. That when Pixar officially became part of Disney, there was a real fear that, oh, Pixar is going to suffer. They're not going to be able to make the kind of movies that they want to make. They're really different, you know, quirky, you know, films. They're going to have to make marketable things with characters that can sell toys, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And then we all saw WALL-E and Up and realized, well, you know, those are exactly the opposite of what we feared. They were beautiful movies about characters that were not just made as marketing vehicles. So, you know, I don't know how long those movies were in the works, but I think most people believe that Disney took a bit of a hands-off approach to the creative at Pixar and said, look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Sure.
And I would like to think that the reason they were attracted to Marvel as a company is because they don't think it's broke. So hopefully they won't do a lot of fixing, but, you know, by the same token, maybe they'll do a little fixing. It might be a good thing, you know?
Sure. And certainly they have the resources to back Marvel up. I know there's a concern about Marvel going on its own from a movie standpoint. Would they be able to really finance these things? You don't have to worry about that anymore. And there's also, it sounds like Disney is going to honor the existing deals with Paramount and Universal and Fox as far as the films that are already in production and the subsequent sequels and things like the X-Men, Iron Man 2, Spider-Man. You know, so That's interesting, and it, you know, we're years away, I think, from seeing any real, you know, big changes as far as any of those specific movie properties.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, you never know what might happen in the next couple of years, but any major changes in the way they do business, you would think would be a few years down the road because everything's so set in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But again, from a marketing standpoint, you know, it may be, I can't help thinking it's just a huge plus. I mean, that's the whole reason that Pixar was you know, associated with Disney in the first place, is just to market their movies. I mean, they just have so many resources, you know.
Sure. I also wonder, and I mean, the product that is going to that turns over the fastest and might come under quicker scrutiny, obviously, and maybe that's why so many creators can't say anything yet, are the comics. They, and I'm guessing because they don't know yet either, given that it was just announced today. But, you know,
sure.
You know, I think that's obviously the fear that our audience is concerned about in terms of how does this affect, you know, let's spell it out, the Max books. You know, some of the more adult product that Marvel has kind of dipped their toe into and that has seen good critical success, I you wonder how much Disney will allow them to go into those directions.
Well, I agree, but there's so much that Disney owns that goes in those directions. I mean, so many of their they have a lot of subsidiaries that make a lot of different kinds of movies, R-rated movies, et cetera. Granted, Max, some of the stuff you read, that Max Punisher, it's pretty rough. But,
yeah.
But you know, I don't think Disney is as squeaky clean as everyone likes to think it is as far as all of its creative product, because people think of Disney as being those movies you see with the castle at the beginning. Well, they also have a lot of other, you know, Miramax and everything else, and all the ABC television shows, which aren't all peachy clean.
That's
very
good.
All kinds of quirky, different television shows, and so I think, I don't think it's going to be as drastic. Like, everybody wants, you know, thinks that Spider-Man's all of a sudden going to get really, really clean. Well, the fact is, within the Marvel Universe, it's all, at the very least, PG-13.
I agree.
Most of it's PG, which,
oh, yeah,
all Disney movies are PG.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. It's exactly what you see on, you know, Disney Channel or or you know, ABC Family that they own. So it's the same. The vast majority of Marvel books are the same kind of product that they're already producing on their even their kid friendly shows, let alone the more adult things. I agree that some of the Max line, I don't know. We'll see. They, mm-hmm. you know, some of it may not be right for them, but I don't see them making huge changes toward more kid-friendly stuff. Now, that said, that doesn't mean that they won't experiment, perhaps, with the fact that they now have a publisher that they can publish their comics through.
Certainly.
You know, they've had some success through putting out their own comics for different brands. I know there was, I think it's called Witches that they had that was on Disney, and they did some comics that they mailed out. I remember my kids had them. And, that, you know, they've tried maybe having a comic book with some of their products, but nothing to the extent that they could do now. They could
right.
really start to publish comic books for a lot of their properties. They own so many. So, you know, I'm not saying that they won't do that, but I don't think they'll take all the Marvel books and kiddify them. I don't see that happening.
No, I understand. And again, I guess you're right about their own products and everything, and that's certainly why Boom can't talk, because, and it's too bad, because I think Boom was doing a nice job with the licenses, and the Muppets are an interesting, there are two properties I think that are interesting to look at. The Muppets are an interesting example of how Disney has been holding them and what they've done with them since obtaining that license. And then also in the conference call today, when they were talking about movie properties, Iron Man was the first one they mentioned, and that's interesting, and of course underlined by the fact that the VP said it is Iron Man. Iron Man is a good example of a character that is not known well outside of Marvel's fandom that was, you know, turned into a successful property. So I think you're right. I think they know what they're getting in terms of Marvel. But again, it's a question of how good of a caretaker have they been with things like the Muppets. There have been yeah. quick little initiatives that have been good, but, you know, the company's interest hasn't stayed with it. And you wonder if that's, you know, through sales, and what's enough of a sales thing? I mean, is 100,000 copies of a Marvel magazine, a Marvel comic, enough for them to say, yeah, that's good, keep going? It's there's I think facing some of the same interesting problems that DC has faced, you know, being part of Time Warner now.
I agree. I think, you know, when Disney tried to do their own comics in the United States and just wasn't making enough money off mm-hmm. it, they ended up licensing it out to other publishers. But keep in mind that when they license it out to other publishers, that they're doing it to somebody who has been, I mean, usually people who know what they're doing and knows the business and knows how to make it work. And I think they got the best people by mm-hmm. working with Marvel. So, yeah, I don't know. That's the concern. The concern is would they have a higher threshold on a book that's making money, and not give the creative people freedom? But like I said, you can also point toward Pixar and those great little cartoons.
Oh yeah,
or the movie. You know, I'm sure they didn't make a lot of money on that, but they, you know, they give them the freedom. So who knows? You know,
sure. Well, and again, and the only reason why I think you're right, Pixar is a good example in a lot of ways, but it's also still, you know, an all ages product that is geared towards children, and that's why it's, you know, again, I think, you know, just comics in general, I think, have been very, you know, careful about marketing themselves not just for kids, but to retain this adult audience, experiment, and provide entertainment at a different level. And, you know, like you say, there are the Miramaxes and things that maybe we will see.
Like you mentioned, one of the first things they talked about was Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man had strippers dancing around a pole.
That's true.
Get that?
That's true.
You know?
No, good call.
I was with my kids. I saw the, you know, quote-unquote stewardesses. And, you know, he was a wild playboy drinker. So, yeah, they know what they're getting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now let me ask you, how about, because you're being a mom, and this is a good opportunity for me because I'm assuming you're more aware of what's on Disney than I am. I mean, I know that Disney has their Toon XD that's showing a lot of those old 90s Marvel cartoons, and that was a contract that they assumed from an old deal that ABC Family had with Marvel.
Fox Family, I think it was.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because that was where the whole lawsuit came about. You know that Marvel sued Disney in 2004.
That's right.
Interesting. they do show Marvel cartoons on Disney. The Disney Channel itself has become mostly live action. They have preschool stuff during the day that's more cartoony, but almost all their after school and evening programming is live action, Hannah Montana type.
Right,
stuff.
Zach and Cody, Hannah Montana, the Cheetah Girls, all that
Jonas
stuff.
Jonas Brothers.
Okay,
yeah,
of course. Well, now what about the Pixar movies? Do they start on when they hit cable? Do they go to the Disney channels first, or do the HBOs and everybody else seem to get them first before Disney?
Wow, you know, I have no idea. I got to tell you, I don't think that they show a lot of movies on Disney Channel, but they may show them on the weekends or something, but no, they have their own original programming on Disney Channel. I think that they show movies on their cartoon channel, so it may go there, but honestly, I don't know. I think most people now watch them on DVD so much, by the time they come out on television, it's just not a big deal, you know?
That's a good point.
But
and
no, I don't. I think that the pay channels, the movie channels, have them before the regular network channels.
Okay. Okay, because, yeah, that was another thing I was wondering. I mean, there is that, the media distribution end of it, or I should say the electric media distribution end of it.
Right.
And where the movies and some of the properties, yeah, where they're going to be and how Disney will be able to capitalize on, you know, obviously they own the movies now, so, you know.
Well, they've had Sunday night movies on ABC, and some of those have been Disney-owned movies,
sure.
Like Family Movie Night or something like that, But nowadays, you know, the reality TV is just so popular that you just don't even see a lot of movies on network television. And yeah, the Disney Channel is all about, you know, the Hannah Montana shows and
sure.
And That's So Raven and that kind of thing.
You got to wonder, too, what this does for Marvel's own animation attempts. Because, you know, they've done very good adaptations, especially in the last year. Man, I got to tell you, I love those two, Hulk versus Wolverine and Hulk versus Thor. Those are great straight up, you know, DVD movies. I think that Avengers Next was interesting, and I can see Disney liking that. And you almost wonder, you know, what the tone of the future animated films will be as well.
Well, yeah, and I think that the big benefit to Marvel is the distribution network.
Mm-hmm.
And the marketing that they already have set for that kind of thing. I mean, Disney can reach out to just about any audience. You know, I don't think they own the Lifetime channel, so I guess they can't hit the really female market, but just about anybody else, really, they own something where they can market the heck out of something.
Yeah.
And even if they're going for adult males with something, you know, they own all the ESPN networks, and I mean, there's so much from a marketing standpoint that they can do, and then, yeah, the distribution, they have the outlets. They're huge.
I guess the question, again, going back to publication, is going to be, you know, when does editorial get a call, or do they ever get a call in terms of, yeah, tell us about this Secret Invasion thing or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, seriously, yeah. You know, those are the questions. And again, I mean, I know these things are planned enough in advance that I don't think we're going to see anything in, you know, within the next 6 months, but it's going to be interesting at conventions. The questions are certainly going to come up in Baltimore. I know that's the next, that's one of the next big cons. And I'll be very curious to see exactly how, once, you know, 6 months from now, if we're going to start seeing any changes.
You listen to the publishers of DC and Marvel, Buckley and Levitz.
Yes.
And they just don't really deal in the nitty-gritty. And they're the ones who are communicating to the higher-ups, you know, not Buckley, but...
Levitz.
Levitz is the one talking to Warner Brothers. And I just really don't think they care about what five-week event happened when. I think, you know, I think it's it's more about bottom line. Sure, that I mean, I'm sure that comes into play somewhat, but they're, I don't think that they care. Well, did Spider-Man, you know, act like Spider-Man's supposed to act? You know, I just don't. From a business standpoint, I don't see Warner Brothers getting that involved in the day-to-day creative at DC, and I wouldn't anticipate Disney doing the same with Marvel. But again, who knows? But my gut feeling is that they wouldn't get that involved in, you know, what events you have planned for this line of books and that line of books. Marvel's been doing this, and they've been very successful at it. And I don't think they're going to come in and say, we want to micromanage you.
The only exceptions to that, and normally I would agree, but I do remember two recent things in the last 10 years, especially with DC. One is the fact that, you know, and don't get me wrong, dead means nothing in comic books, and I recognize that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Greg Rucker and Klaus Janson did that great Death in the Maiden's Batman story, and it was literally before, 6 months before Batman Begins.
Right.
And as it was coming out, I remember that kind of rolling your eyes tone in Greg's voice when he said, yeah, he's dead now, but I'm well aware of the fact that Ra's al Ghul is going to be part of Batman Begins, so we'll see how long this
sticks. Oh, but don't you think that that probably exists to some extent before Disney with Marvel Studios West? You know, Marvel West has, I know that, you know, I've heard business joke anyway. Brian has said, you know what, I'm going to, you know, can't kill Captain America. There's got to be a Captain America published somewhere.
Because right.
He's got a movie coming up, and they joke about it, and maybe it isn't true, but I think it probably still exists to some point. I mean, they are communicating with each other, probably more than Warner Brothers and DC were communicating with each other, although recently, obviously, with all the news about Geoff Johns and Grant Morrison and Marv Wolfman being involved in the movies that they're making, I assume they're talking back and forth somewhat, but I think, you know, that existed to some extent anyway.
No,
you're
going
to kill the character. You know, Marvel West probably would have said, you're going to what now? We had a movie coming out about that guy.
No, you're right. And I also think, though, that you're right, especially Marvel West was working even much more in concert with Marvel East than...
Right. And to your point, I mean, your example, though, just points out that DC wasn't being controlled by Warner Brothers, because they did kill someone.
But
not to say that there maybe wasn't pressure to change that, but the fact is that that they weren't involved in the nitty gritty, or else we assume they wouldn't let them do something like that.
No, I understand. And again, the other example I was going to give was back during No Man's Land, and this is 10 years ago. I understand that, but
yeah.
You know, when they really did go to editorial and said, you know, I think we have to kill the Joker, and the word came from upstairs, there's no way in hell you're killing the Joker. He's the Joker.
Yeah.
Are you nuts?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm sure that there's, again, I'm sure that there is some of that, but I don't think that quite counts as getting involved in the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
You know, it's more about protecting the interests of a licensed character or protecting a licensed character. However, I think since those things happened, I think Marvel has learned this, and DC's playing around with it a whole lot this summer. Just because a comic book character's dead doesn't mean they're really dead. Doesn't mean they're going to stay dead.
Sure.
And so I can't help thinking even that, you know, they would be able to say to Disney, yeah, you know, we're killing... I know you got this movie coming out about Hawkeye and, you know, we killed him, but in actuality, Scarlet Witch is going to bring him back, you know?
Sure.
So... Yeah.
Well, and I also obviously everyone I think is interested at what potential crossovers there were. God, and I were you aware of the Archie Meets the Punisher? I think this is before you were reading, but
no, but I had heard about
it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot of fun, and you wonder to what degree and you know what'll be floated out there. I mean, I think you can guarantee that at some point Spider-Man and Mickey Mouse will be shaking hands. It has to happen.
Well, there's always a possibility. I don't know that Spider-Man and Mickey Mouse make sense particularly, and I don't know that honestly that Disney would be okay with that. I worked quite a bit with Disney when I worked at Sears, and we had a promotion with Disney, and you know, we asked if we could have in our commercial, for example, Cinderella shop in a store. And, well, Cinderella wouldn't do that. And we asked if Cinderella could say a certain line. Well, Cinderella wouldn't say that. And it wasn't about, no, we're, from a business standpoint, we're not going to do that. It was, well, Cinderella wouldn't say that. So they're very, very, very protective of their, each of their characters and how their character would act, and to never, ever have them veer from the way, you know, that they function, from the world in which they live. They got away from that in the 90s, and they've completely pulled it back, and they are really protective of their characters, as anybody probably knows just in general. But having dealt with them directly, just they really don't want their characters ever doing anything that they wouldn't do. And so I don't see, like, Cinderella showing up in Spider-Man's world.
I wonder what's...
I just don't think it's going to happen. Tinkerbell doesn't live in Manhattan. She does... Manhattan, you know, it's just not going to... I just don't think it's going to happen. It has to fit with the character. Now, that said, there may be some characters that they own, because, good Lord, they, you know, they own a lot that could be brought in, but it might not be as drastic as Mickey Mouse shaking Spider-Man fan.
Maybe only at maybe only at the Macy's Day Parade then, or something like that.
Exactly.
Well, and I wonder too, and I don't know how many of these outstanding creator-owned arguments are still out there. You know, do you know, have Joe Simon and Marvel made up, and are they, you know, on the same page now?
I honestly don't know, and all of that is just every day you hear something different, so I'm
sure.
Not sure.
Okay, and I realize there aren't that many of those
Disney
left.
Yeah, Disney inherits that.
Well, exactly, and I mean, yeah, that's the interesting thing.
Love.
Yeah, and
yeah.
You know, and as the Siegel-Shuster, Time Warner, Superman debate continues, it is interesting now that you no longer have to contend with Marvel. You got to contend with the mouse, and it's like, yeah. Get Perry Mason on the phone. Who owns the rights to that?
Exactly. Well, yeah, again, like I said, they're protective of their characters, and not just from the standpoint that I was talking about, but just in general. But yeah, they're very protective of their brand. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either, because
sure.
When it comes down to from now on, although I'm sure it's been taken care of correctly, you know, recently anyway, but I'm sure it's going to be very clear. All their contracts and everything is going to be very, very legal now.
Man, I wonder if this means the death of Ultimate John Suntress. I'm going to have to ask Bendis about that. I'm still around. I survived the flood, apparently. That's what he told me. Yeah. So now, am I property of Disney? You know, is there?
Are you Disney friendly? Right. No.
Yeah. Let's. We know that I'm not Disney friendly. I think that goes without saying. Come on.
Yeah, Jesus. But come on, is Bendis Disney friendly?
You know something? You put those little mouse ears on him, and all of a sudden it's Cubby from the Mouseketeer Club. Come on, you know it. I got to call him Cubby from now on.
It could work.
Yikes. Well, listen, I'm catching you on a night when you're being a mom, which is a 7-day-a-week job for you, and I realize that. And also,
it was really difficult today. All this news hit, and it just happened to be a day when I had a sick kid at home.
Oh.
So I just felt so guilty because, you know, there were 3 or 4 times she came up to me, and I said, just give me one more minute. And then she'd come up and go, has it been a minute? And, of course, it had been 15 minutes. And I'd say, just one more minute. You know, and then I went in and cuddled with her for a while before I came back and did some more work.
Aww.
But that always happens.
Now, this is being released Tuesday. Let me ask you as we wrap up, what, you know, can you tell us what areas you're looking at next and what directions, you know, I mean, obviously everyone's kind of sitting and waiting to hear things. But, yeah, I mean, where do you go next as a reporter? Where are you looking next?
Oh, you mean as relates to Disney and Marvel?
Yeah.
Well, I honestly think that we have a lot of reporters working on a lot of different angles. There's everything from, you know, people doing the pros and people doing the cons of the whole thing. I personally am talking to retailers about how they think that this might affect them and how they think it might affect the industry. A lot of those guys out in comic book stores have been in the business for decades, you know, or at least a lot of years, and it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. It's something we didn't talk about, but something that I've already been hearing a little bit from retailers about is how this affects Diamond, and who knows, but Disney's so big, can they, you know?
Interesting. Yes, that's that's a very good point. Do they? Yeah, do they kind of? You know, that's very interesting, and you're completely right about that. And distribution is kind of the key of how do you get the product to the people, and
right. And then of course there's the other question of will Disney value the comic book stores as much as current people in the publishing industry do? They see the comic book stores as their main outlet. Disney obviously knows that there's other outlets out there. So, you know, it's kind of a question mark there, too. So that's where I'm going.
Sure.
And Futurama will be covering a whole lot more of it.
Yeah, and you know, believe me, I will be saying this in the wrap as well. There's already some very good stories that are published at Newsarama.com, and check them out because they do kind of get into animation and where things are as far as films. And another thing that we didn't really discuss much, and quickly, it's worth kind of speculating, just digital comics in general. I mean, you know, we talk about the stores and stuff like that, and I know that, you know, that's an area that everyone is exploring.
Huge. Again, if anybody, you know, has the distribution network to do those kind of things, it's Disney. I mean, they've dabbled in their own browsers, and they certainly have websites galore, and you look at all that interactive information that they put up on ABC.com for Lost and for, well, they have Flash Forward coming out, and there's just tons of stuff on there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, if anybody knows how to work that crowd and do it on the web, it's Disney. So yeah, again, that's another thing from a retailing standpoint. Oh my gosh, does this push digital forward? Although Marvel has certainly been at the forefront of a lot of the digital movement in
True.
Comics anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, we
could talk about all the things that could happen. And because when you asked me, you said, well, what are you working on next? And my reply to that would be, I've got tons of things related to digital comics. I've got three or four interviews lined up about digital and various outlets for digital comics or digital content. And it's just huge right now in the comics industry. A lot of people wondering what is going to be, you know, the one thing that people go to read comic books that isn't paper. Where are they going to read? Are they going to read it on the web? Are they going to read it on their iPhone? Is this Kindle thing going to take off?
Yep.
Is Apple really going to come out with a tablet? So there's a lot of things out there, but if anybody's positioned well to take advantage of it, certainly would be Disney.
You know? No, you're right. You know? Or even, you know, God, is Spider-Woman, is that the Steamboat Willie now of digital motion comics and everything?
Yeah.
And really, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting.
Mark Bernardin, one thing that he brought up was that it's, you know, it's his understanding, and I don't know, you know, if he knows this for sure, but it's his understanding that Warner Brothers encourages DC to publish titles, other titles like Vertigo titles and other things that they can develop into movies. Now, I'm not sure if that's true, but he said it'll be interesting to see if Marvel will add more non-superhero titles
Yes.
under their publishing arm. You know, it would be Disney's publishing arm to you know, where they could look for other movie ideas, kind of the same way that Warner Brothers turns toward Vertigo. So,
right, and it's
that may be something that we see from a little bit of diversification from Marvel now that they are not just trying to brand superhero characters, but are instead part of a much larger company that can do something with other kinds of characters.
I think you're right, and I think I know way back. You know, in the early 80s, it was Levitz going to, and maybe more Karen Berger, or not Karen Berger. Oh, God, I'm blanking. What's her name? The former woman that was in charge of DC, who was the publisher back when Dick Giordano was doing Jeanette Kahn. Jeanette Kahn had to go to, you know, the powers that be at Time Warner with Paul Levitz's help and explain that you know, DC was this intellectual property laboratory to allow them to come up with these concepts. So, no, I think you're right. And, yeah, maybe we'll see more things like the Book of Lost Souls and you know, some of those initiatives that Marvel has tried in the last couple of years that weren't very superhero-oriented. So, it's, you know, again, that's – and it's part of what I was saying, too, about – you know, DC operates differently than Marvel. And then, for you know, it really kind of set DC up in a different way than, again, Marvel, which really was first and foremost always publishing. And that was, you know, the main, you know, along with licensing and everything else. But that, you know, but yeah, publishing the books and publishing and exploiting their characters was...
Exploiting their characters that mostly characters that already existed that they owned. And I think that Mark was saying, you know, now Disney may bring in that flavor that DC has because of Warner Brothers, where they may say, look, you know, let's publish. If we're going to publish, let's not just do, you know, existing Marvel characters in the existing Marvel universe, but let's try some other things that might be successful that could be developed and marketed and you know, used elsewhere in the Disney Corporation.
And maybe that means reviving some of the other things that they've bought and done nothing with. I mean, they own all the cross-gen characters and cross-gen concepts.
Hyperion. And a lot of people were talking about that today because they did kind of go nowhere, and now there's a publisher. You've got a publisher that you could do something with them. So
sure. And another lost thing that, or you know, at least was bought by DC's or Disney's Italian division, but has yet to find any U.S. publication. Howard Chaykin wrote a great turn of the century kind of Western, but again, it's near the turn of the century, so it's hard to really qualify it as a Western. But it hasn't seen the light of day in American publishing because it was DC Italy. Now maybe that they've got Marvel again. There's a reason to dust that off. So yeah, maybe this is more properties for Marvel to take advantage of on the Disney side.
Mm-hmm. And there's certainly a lot of existing Disney characters that, you know,
that
aren't necessarily being published right now by Boom that they might test the waters on as well.
And you have to wonder what this does with Kingdom Comics, which has kind of been, you know, in development, and how does this affect their future?
Right. I would think, you know, with now that they have a publisher like Marvel, I would think that would be all the publishing efforts would be concentrated through that company. But you know, again, you never know.
Sure.
they may go forward with other initiatives.
All right, well, I'll insert that. That's a continuity implant. Good job.
Well, I thought of it later, and I thought, you know, we didn't bring that up. But, yeah, that may be one way that Marvel changes.
No, I agree.
Actually, you know, you could come up with, like, 50 different, well, it might be do this, or they might do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that's good.
I think that one, actually, I read his quote, and I thought, wow, you know, I don't think anybody's talking about that, but it, you know, that makes sense. They'd say, well, you know, can't you publish something else that we can use, you know,
I think
property that we can use outside the Marvel universe?
No, I think you're 100% right. Excellent. Well, you know, like I said, I mean, this is just the first night, and these are just some of the questions that we have. And I recommend people keep going to newsarama.com for more information, and I will certainly pursue it as well with more interviews and talking to more people. But, you know, I had to call you, Lois, because I know you're on the scene.
Well, like I said, I was so busy today just gathering comments from all the publishers and a lot of different creators and people in the business that I barely sat down and, like, read over the, you know, in between the lines of everything. So I find it just fascinating. I'm a Disney maniac from way back. I love Disney. And so it's and like I said, I work with those people a lot when I was in marketing. And so it's kind of fascinating to me that two of my loves now are combining efforts. And but I don't just automatically think it's a great thing. I mean,
sure.
I think it's a very good thing, but you know, who knows what will happen? Change will happen, but I don't know what will change. We'll see.
Very interesting, and especially in Marvel's 70th year, and again, capping off 10 years of Quesada kind of running the publishing side or editor in chief. You know, Dan Buckley's had less time, but, you know, Joe has kind of been the constant, and I think a lot of good things have happened for Marvel in the last 10 years. And,
right.
And yeah, I'm sure, you know, right now there's a lot of people that are enjoying their stock dividends and their, you know, bonus of $30 per share of stock. I read that online, and they get a 0.75 share of each DC or Disney stock to match.
Mm-hmm.
So very...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some numbers for
very
you.
Beneficial. And from a business standpoint, one of the things that Jeff Katz talked about, and he and I have actually talked about this before, is the consolidation of entertainment companies in general.
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, and him being at Fox as an executive, I mean, that was one thing that he kept seeing, was that they were getting rid of the redundancies. Why have a publishing guy, you know, that works at the movie studio that looks for comics, and a guy at the comics place that looks for movie companies? Why not have something like Katz's company that does it all under one roof? Well, and that's kind of what Disney's doing. So he said, you know, this is just another consolidation that we're seeing more and more in the entertainment industry. And it's kind of exciting that the one thing that's being valued by all these companies is comics.
I agree. And I, again, 10 years ago, I kind of remember all this happening at Time Warner and at CBS and, in fact, Disney and ABC and all the acquisitions then. And I think, you know, the hot word back then was synergy, and having all these companies kind of a bunch of platforms to, you know, be able to exploit a brand through various channels. And we're seeing the differences now, and it'll be interesting to see the lessons that were learned at the end of the internet boom and see how they're applied today, because, you know, we all know what happened with AOL Time Warner and some of the, you know, tail wagging the dog kind of, you know, mistakes that were made 10 years ago. So it'll be, you know, we're at the beginning of this relationship, and we'll see exactly how it pans out. So, again, tons of questions, and we'll look to you to see what you're able to uncover in Newsarama, and we'll do what we can here at Word Balloon. So thanks for...
All right, great.
All right, thanks for, you know, whipping out the crystal ball and looking in the future with me.
I wish. I wish we could see the future.
No kidding.
Who knows?
Well, that's all right.
Who knows? Well, yep. All right, thank you, John.
So that'll do it for this special report from Word Balloon. Thanks again for listening. John Suntress reminding you that Word Balloon is all over the internet. We're at wordballoon.com, where you'll find our archive of interviews. We're also at iTunes. You can find us at newsarama.com. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, make sure you check out the Word Balloon forums at wordballoon.com, or you can email me, john@wordballoon.com. Make sure you continue to follow Vanita Rogers' coverage of the story at newsarama.com, and keep checking for more information. As things get known, we'll probably be talking about them right here on Word Balloon. Until next time, thanks again for listening. This is Word Balloon, a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2009.